You remembered them fondly, and then they were gone. And now you want to know who, what, where, when, why. Why It Ended with Robbie E. and Matt Coon.
Hey guys, what's up? And welcome to Why It Ended, the first and not last ever bonus show. Congratulations. We have gotten 500 YouTube followers, and now we have given you this episode. And Matt, I'm a little nervous for everyone to hear this because it's our first ever time recording a podcast together.
Well, it's a goddamn bonus show. It's a free show. It's a bonus show. And it's actually a subject that's fantastic. Cherry, everybody talks about it all the time. You'd like to get some women on. We've got a woman on with a great story, but what you're talking about is true, because this is the lost pilot of Why It Ended, is it not?
It is, and the show has been so great lately, and me and you are gelling so well, I think we're going to go back and be like, you listen to these two guys, it's not the same two guys. But nonetheless, it is a great story. Cherry talking about OVW and WWE, she's got a lot of cool stuff to talk about, and she's a good friend of mine, so enjoy, guys. We appreciate it, and you deserve it.
Coming up now, your bonus show. Thank you to everybody. On Why It Ended, Cherry. So, Kara, you've given us a little bit of background. You started watching wrestling when you were young, but you weren't a super fan. And you started working in wrestling because you met somebody. They were surprised at how much you knew about wrestling. And you did a little bit of training. You did the indie scene. And in 1999 is when you started, but in 2005, you were invited to the OVW tryout. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. My friend Danny Gimondo, Inferno Kid, who I'd worked with and managed, was already down in Louisville. He had gotten a contract and encouraged me to do it and was very clear that it was a tryout for OVW, not WWE, but at the time, that's where the developmental was. So I can, was just kind of like, oh, well, why not? I'm going to fill out the application. No big deal. I'm never going to get accepted. And I did. So
was this a tryout you had to pay for?
Yes, but it was more like the money went to like the hotel for the weekend. And then like maybe some of the money went to the school, but it wasn't bad at all. I think it was like $600. And then that was like your, travel, your, hotel, and then like the camp.
Not bad at all. What kind of baller were you back then? $600. I mean, you're making it like it's like $10. $600 is a lot of money, Miss Cherry.
Well, I was doing decent for myself. So
apparently, good God.
But I was okay with that. I didn't think that was bad.
When you tried out for OVW, who were you trying out for?
Rip Rogers was there. Danny Davis was there. Tom Pritchard was there. So they had a bunch of people that were running it. Mike Mondo was actually part of the regular team because he was like a staple down there at the time. So when I went down, I just wanted to do well and have a good time. I was super nervous. And I was one of two girls that actually got accepted to this camp.
Do you remember who the other girl was?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
I don't remember her name.
How could you not remember her? Weren't you in big competition with her to get that one girl spot? It's just you and her. I mean, come on, you have to remember her name. You had to have hated her.
No, I didn't think of it like that. I was just shocked that I was one of two girls.
Yeah, so that is crazy.
I wasn't catty, Robbie. I wasn't catty about it.
I just also wanted to know, like, in that tryout, it was a bunch of you. So was there anyone else that you were in it with that ended up, making it to WWE, becoming a star or anything?
Not in my training class, but I had been on the independents for so long. I had known a lot of people. I knew Damian Adams was there, who I trained with, and you know him well, Robbie.
Yeah.
We trained a lot in Jersey, and we traveled a lot together. So I knew him really, really well. And then Pat Buck, he was Rue Starr at the time. I knew him from the indies.
But no one was in it that like moved on to become like a huge WWE star or anything?
Not in my training camp. Now, I feel bad if I don't remember because sometimes I have the most horrible memory. So I hope that I'm not forgetting somebody. But Not that I remember. I mean, there were a lot of indie names that were in there, and I do remember that, but those were the two that stuck out to me. Okay. Well, I can't forget Damian Adams. Gosh, he was a staple in my education.
Nobody can forget him. Come on.
No, you can't.
When you get accepted by OVW, what is the situation there? What is the pay like, and what is your daily schedule like?
Well, Danny Davis made it very clear that I was coming down for OVW and that nothing was ever promised to me. So it was really on my own accord, on my own dime, and it was a chance to train with the best talent and the best trainers. So it was really kind of a shot in the dark. And, you know, after the training camp, it was only 3 days. It was a weekend. I came home and I called Danny that week and just thanked him for the opportunity. And he just had really nice things to say and thought he saw great potential in me and offered me to come down. And it took me a couple of months to kind of get situated, but I left a job that I was doing very well at and a boyfriend who I was madly in love with and left by myself to move to OVW.
Think about that. So like when you read, you know, say all that stuff to yourself and that, like, put yourself in her shoes. So, okay, you did good at the camp and they said you could come down, but still no guarantee, no money. You have to leave your life behind and you're just coming here with basically nothing, just still in the hopes of starting over and probably having a 1% chance.
Exactly.
It sounds to me like someone at this point is now chasing a dream. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you were. I mean, I remember him. You know, I was super young, so I never did. At the time, I was probably like 20, and I was still in college, and I didn't have enough balls to do it, but I knew a bunch of you that did, and well, look what happened.
Yeah, I took a chance, a big-time chance, which a lot of us did, like Beth Phoenix did, Nick Dinsmore did, like everybody did it.
Joey Mercury.
Oh, gosh, yeah, there's countless amounts of people that did it, and I really was like, I left a job that had a 401k, that had full insurance, that I was doing well, like to take a chance to go get a serving job somewhere and wrestle at night and on the weekends, and anytime that I wasn't serving, I was wrestling or training. So it was like totally out of my, and I had never gone out of state to school, so this is my first time legitimately as an adult on my own, and I went 15 hours away from anybody I ever knew.
What led you to getting your WWE contract? How did it happen?
I feel beyond blessed that it happened in 4 months. So, you know, you go to the training school, you do your classes, and then they taped their TVs on Wednesday nights. And again, I knew a lot of people down there. So I knew Jimmy Snuka Jr. from Jersey and training. And I had not only worked as a participant on the show, but I ended up being like their ring girl. So from that, I got exposure there. And then Jimmy had approached me about this concept that him and Domino were doing with this 50s gimmick. And he pulled me aside at one of the TVs and he was like, listen, you know, Cliff and I are doing this gimmick and we really feel like we need a girl. And, you know, we really feel like Jimmy knew me well enough. And he said, we want someone who's hardworking, who's really going to put their all in this. And we really want you to be this girl. We don't know anything about her. We don't know her name. We don't know what she looks like, but all we know is we want her on old roller skates. Yeah. Roller skates. So he showed me after the TV, like some promos that they had been doing in promo class. Now Cliff was not signed at the time. Only Jimmy was signed. So, you know, Cliff was trying to get signed as well, but he was in the advanced class, which was hard to get into. So a non-contracted guy in the advanced class is hard. So I watched these promos and it was a Wednesday and he's like, the only other thing is that the office is coming down on Tuesday to evaluate what's down here and we want you to be ready for that. So I had like a week to put this persona together. And I kept asking Jimmy, I'm like, well, what am I, you know, asking? He's like, I have no idea. Just go with it. Just figure it out. Go with it. Come up with your own thing. And I shopped everywhere for those old school roller skates. It took me days to find them.
Where did you find them? Where do you find them?
An old school roller rink in Louisville, Kentucky.
Let me ask you this. How much did they cost?
$100.
$100? Well, that's nothing to you. I mean, God, $600 is nothing to you. So
I'm rich, so it didn't matter.
So you debuted in late March of 2006 in OVW with Deuce, and then it became Deuce, Domino, and Cherry. Was it just well-received right away? Did people love it right away?
I feel like it was. I think everybody was kind of shocked because we didn't tell anybody that they were including me in this gimmick. And Tuesday came around when the office was there, and I almost missed the whole tryout because Danny and Al Snow and everybody was like only contracted people. So, you know, Jimmy really fought hard for me to get a chance to get to be included. And he, you know, and I was like, oh man, I'm not gonna be included. Like, I just got so disappointed. We worked this whole week on whatever we were, you know, putting together. And, you know, he calls me 10 minutes after I'm supposed to be there. And he's like, get down here now. And I grab my stuff because I was already ready in hopes that he would call me. And I run down there. And I run in the building. Rip Rogers sees me, and he's just so disappointed, thinking, "Oh gosh, this girl can't get her stuff together that she can be," you know. And I'm right. like, can't tell him what's going on. So I rush to the girls' locker room, and I throw on all my stuff, and I open the door to the locker room, and I, of course, Deuce and Domino are across the arena, and I haven't skated, roller skated in years, and I just roll myself over to Deuce, and everybody's mouth dropped and it went silent, and they all just watched me skate across the arena. And
dude, I'm picturing like a movie scene right now. It's like the music stops, everyone in slow motion, and you're just skating. But here's the thing: what if you would have fell? Do you think it all would have went downhill?
Oh my god, yes! I was petrified because I hadn't skated in for so long, but I was gonna do it. Like I never skated. This was the gimmick, and I loved it. And I thought it was unique, and we had it, and we worked on it. And I was just like, "This is gold!" Like, so I was gonna make it work. I didn't care.
Matt, could you skate, Matt?
I can skate. I can skate. I'm a big guy, but I can skate. I can't skate backwards.
I would have busted my ass. I would have busted my ass.
Oh my gosh. I thought it was. I kept telling Jimmy, I'm like, catch me. I can't stop.
How long was the Cherry Deuce and Domino combination down in OVW before you guys got the call?
We actually got, so after the Tuesday tryout, I debuted on OVW TV. Well, I got signed that day. At the end of the whole day, which was such a whirlwind, Johnny Ace signed Cliff and I, and we debuted me on the OVW TV the next day. And then they called us and said we were debuting on Raw that Monday. So we hadn't even been together a week before they were going to debut us. So
that's freaking insane, man.
We went on the road that Friday, did the house shows, went to Raw Monday, and never debuted, which was a blessing in disguise because we were just so new. We ended up staying down in OVW for a year and debuting in Little Rock, Arkansas, a year to the day that we got signed. And it was a blessing because we had a year to marry.
At the time, did you feel it was a blessing, or at the time, were you disappointed?
We were disappointed, but we knew that we had just started, that we really didn't marinate and kind of gel with each other and get that chemistry flowing, that it really was. Like, we just all knew that there was a reason why, you know?
Yeah, I mean, no matter what, you get so much better, like, not just training and practicing together, but going out to eat together. I mean, I'm sure even though you guys knew each other, you didn't know each other on that level. So, like, you had, you know, it was definitely better for you guys to wait. I mean.
Oh, for sure. We were able to do so much more.
So in this year that you're in OVW with Deuce and Domino, Cliff Compton, and Jimmy Snuka Jr., who else is working down there? Who else would we know is down in OVW? I'm sure there's a million people down there.
Oh, yeah. There was Chet the Jet. There was Beth Phoenix, Seth Skyfire, CM Punk, Brent Albright. Let's see. They had the Spirit Squad was down there. Shelly Martinez was down there. Oh, gosh. Serena Deeb was down there. Santino Marella, who was Boris, actually down there before he was Santino Marella. Aaron Stevens, who
is, of course, Sandow, right?
Yep, Damian Sandow. Sean Spears, Cody Rhodes. I don't know how you could get them. Oh, my God, our big storyline that whole year. Sean Spears, who's Ty Dillinger now. But
who was the standout at that? Well, you've got everybody from Ty Dillinger to Cody Rhodes to CM Punk down there. Who is there somebody down there who was a standout?
Oh, they all were. We all were. We were. That was the most special time that we ever had.
As far as the higher-ups down there, had it reached the point where Cornette was down there or where Paul Heyman was down there, or were you working primarily with Rip Rogers and Danny Davis?
I worked with Al Snow, Paul Heyman, and Cornette was there when I first moved to Kentucky, and then Paul Heyman had come in when Cornette wasn't there anymore, and Paul Heyman was only there very briefly. I got signed, and he had done a few shows, and then he was out, and forgive me, I don't remember why he wasn't part of that anymore. So it was primarily Al Snow that ran the contracted class. So that's where we worked most of it.
Were you there when Cornette slapped Santino?
No, I came not very long after that, like a couple of weeks after that. So that was all the buzz when I got there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have OVW TV. So I didn't know anything about it.
So no, were you guys like super confident at this time? Like you said, it was such a good group of guys and you had so much fun together. Like, were you very confident in yourself and as a team?
As a team, yes, because we really appreciated what each person brought to the team. I will never, you know, I'll never be able to repay those guys, but I feel I would never have made it without them. You know, we really gelled.
And then I'm asking this because when you got brought up to TV, did you have that same confidence going into TV or was it like starting over again?
I definitely feel like I had some confidence, but I got super intimidated by the other girls because I just felt like I'm like really the girl next door. Like I didn't come from a lot of the backgrounds that these girls did. And I was trying really hard and, you know, it was super intimidating to be next to these girls that I admired. And now I'm one in the locker room with them. So I feel like at first as a team, I felt confident because I felt confident in my role, but then as a quote unquote diva, I became super intimidated.
Did anybody like poop in your bag or anything or give you a hard time like that?
No. Everybody was, no, maybe the boys do that, but no, those girls were so sweet to me, so nice to me, so welcoming to me. They were helping me with a lot of things. And, you know, no, none of the girls were ever mean to me.
Well, you debuted in January 2007. When were you told you were coming up and how were you told? And what was the preparation involved for your debut?
Krista Joseph called me and said that we were debuting on SmackDown, but he didn't have the details to my recollection. I don't remember exactly what it was. Because we had already done a dark match in Long Island, where I think they took a lot of our Titantron photos and stuff. So we were just going to debut against locals, from what I remember. They didn't have like a whole storyline for us yet, and we weren't coming in with like a big bang or anything. So
there was a lot put into your entrance. Was that something you guys worked out in OVW, or was that something that you guys kind of figured out when you guys got up to the main roster?
We worked on our entrance in OVW, but they brought the old school cars for sure. We did not know we were getting that.
They were awesome. Yeah.
They were cool. And they let me take photo shoots with them every week. So every week we had a car, I would take a different photo shoot, which was fun.
Since you were kind of like fresh meat, when you first got brought up to the roster, new girl in town, did everyone just like crowd around you, like try to creep on you guys?
That's solid.
I mean, come on.
I don't know if they were creeping on me. I think that definitely, I think it's in nature that people are kind of interested. I don't know. I don't know how to really answer that question.
The answer is yes.
I think there was a little creeping. I think that comes naturally with whether it was
comes with the territory.
It wasn't like abrasive or anything like that. But, you know, I could tell that, I mean, there was a few that were interested. Putting the feelers out to see where, because none of them knew who Deuce and Domino were to me. Somebody's girlfriend? They didn't know. So I think, yes, I think people definitely put their feelers out.
And at the time, did you still have a boyfriend or were you and Judas broken up by then?
We were broken up.
Okay. All right.
Did you ever meet Deuce's dad?
Oh, God, yeah. I've known him for years from being in New Jersey and being on shows. And then finally meeting Deuce when he started wrestling. You know, his dad would come and train with him and stuff. So I'd met him in passing, met Jimmy in passing, but, you know, I'd met Senior many, many times before this.
So what was your pay bump like when you got from the OVW to the main roster? Was it significant right away?
I was pleased with it.
More than $600, she could tell you that.
Yeah. I could afford a few pants at that point.
Well, they definitely got behind you guys right away, and you guys eventually won the tag team titles.
Well, we won them overseas in Italy. That was fun. So we, you know, it was kind of, we were just trying to figure out how the creative role worked up there. So, you know, we were just super ecstatic when we did win. The boys didn't want to go out and have a party or anything. So me and Shelly Martinez, Ariel, just ended up having a party by ourselves because they were just like pooped from the day. Like they were just so tired. They went to bed and we're like, screw this. This is great. We need to celebrate this. So her and I just ended up going out and having a good time.
Were you given any indications that maybe you had a future apart from Deuce and Domino? Because obviously you were a wrestler before. Right now you're being used essentially as a valet. Did you have any kind of indications that maybe you had a future apart from them, or did you feel like it was just you and them?
Not initially, because I felt like there was so much more that we could do, like with storylines and different angles. And I felt like there was, you know, we were going somewhere with Ric Flair and Batista and kind of teasing that a little bit, and it just died. And I felt like because we had done so many different things in OVW and knew the potential that we had, I didn't really think, I was still interested in kind of doing all of this fun stuff that we could do. And so I didn't initially think of, oh, I'm going to break off and be this wrestler. So when the Diva competition came around, I was thrilled, but I was kind of like surprised a little bit too that I was broken off. I felt like it was very soon, because I still wanted to have a lot of fun with what we were able, all the ideas that we had that we could do. So it was a surprise, but I'm not complaining, because I had a good time with that too.
Was there somebody backstage who was a big supporter of Deuce and Domino and Cherry? Were there some people backstage who didn't like them? Like who was your big supporter that would lead you to get in the tag team titles, and who would lead to the thing dying out?
The dying out thing, I'm not really sure. Krista Joseph was a big supporter of ours. Mike Rotundo was a big supporter. Michael Hayes was a big supporter. So they really, you know, had talked to us a lot and gave us some ideas. And, you know, Fit Finley was super great with us, and especially with me as far as with working with the girls and stuff. So, you know, those three, you know, Krista Joseph, Mike Rotundo, Michael Hayes were really a lot involved with giving us feedback and stuff. And the boys were great as far as making friends with people and kind of, you know, picking minds of all the good guys and, you know, getting, you know, JBL's input or Taker's input, you know, always looking for more advice, you know. So that was kind of where all of our steam was coming from, was just, you know, your surroundings.
And now that, like, they found, you know, when you guys found out that they were going to break you up, was that like a super shock, or were you expecting it?
It was a shock, because when I did the Diva competition, they weren't saying that we were breaking up.
Can you explain to people a little bit about that Diva competition? Because it's not really ringing a bell with me, quite honestly. If you can remind us what happened there.
Yeah, so they did a competition with all the girls on SmackDown for a prize, which was this custom bike from these Beverly Hills gentlemen that made these motorcycles. So they were basically going to do like a challenge, and each week we would do a different kind of activity, and basically the fans would vote in and vote your favorite diva, and then each week someone would get voted off. So that kind of came out of nowhere. Wasn't really included with the girls. They were very, like, the office protected me a lot. Like, I wasn't included in girls' matches, like, even though I was their valet.
That's literally the first thing you ever did away from Deuce and Domino. They said, guess what, you're part of this now.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
And were these real votes?
See, that's the thing that I always was wondering, because, you know, I made it to number two out of the whole thing. And I remember Elijah Burke pulling me aside backstage, and he was like, you know, what's the deal? Where's your head at? Like, what are you thinking? And I basically was honest, and I said, listen, I go, either these votes are real and these fans really want me to be number two or winner or whatever. Because I was number two at the time. And I said, I'm happy with that. That makes me so happy. If these votes are not real and the office is making me number two, I'm happy with that as well. So either way, it didn't bother me. You know, Arn Anderson was so great about teasing me. He's like, you're doing good. You're doing good. Like, when they would come out of their meetings and stuff like that. And I was like, I am, you know, so it was great. I mean, I had a good time, you know, either way, it was a win-win for me, whether the votes weren't real and the office wanted me in that spot, or the fans really voted me there. It was a win-win for me. And I was just having a good time. And I was thrilled to be a part of it. Cause honestly, I did not think I would make it that far. And the fact that I did, I was like, holy cow.
Hey, number two is pretty damn good. That is good.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to win over Michelle McCool. I knew that. And that's when Natalia made her debut, was that night. The final end of the competition where Michelle won and Natalia attacked Michelle.
They bring you into the Diva competition. Deuce and Domino are kind of left out there. And without you as part of it, it's possible maybe they just saw you as a separate entity. But there was no real on-screen split between you guys. That must have been a disappointing thing for all three of you, that it just ended.
Yeah, it was really weird. They did, like, something for, .com, where we had these, like, interviews backstage where the boys kind of like would just dump on me and then I kind of just take it, which was kind of the dynamic of it. Like I was just kind of like the girl who liked to be with the bad boys, but I was kind of like scared of all the fighting and just, you know, and they were just, that was the dynamic of it anyway. So then, they just kind of dumped me out of nowhere. And I was just kind of like, I was like, wait, what happened? Like, and I don't really know if people saw that on .com, but you know, I taped the vignettes and they were shown. So it was a surprise. And then the breakup of those two where they fought and broke up, that wasn't even on air either. That was like a dark match.
So it's definitely a weird feeling in your stomach when you know that it's not like a main focus that's on television that they're doing these things,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we put our heart and soul and believed in that gimmick and knew that it could go so far. So it broke our hearts for sure.
You go from tag team champions to splitting off screen. It seems a little disjointed to me. Do you have any theories or anything of what exactly happened to kind of cause Deuce and Domino and Cherry to lose favor so quickly?
I don't. And that's what really is frustrating. I didn't understand it. And I, you know, no one was, things got really sketchy and I just started to like not believe people. Like there's like things weren't adding up. You know, when you have something in your gut and you're like, things aren't adding up. And I just didn't feel like I was getting the answer. You know, you get the cliche answers of, oh, we don't have anything right now. And, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I just didn't want to look like I wasn't interested in doing what I was doing. But, I didn't want to put any steam into it because I felt in my gut I wasn't getting the answer, the truth. So I just let it go.
All right. So you're done with Deuce and Domino. Now you're doing your singles thing. How long did that last until, you know, going into getting the call that the WWE is no more?
A couple months to a year that I was doing that by myself, doing some house shows and stuff like that. It was August of 2008 that I got let go with that whole group of people. They had like that whole cleaning house in 08 when the economy crashed.
When did you induce a Domino breakup, though? What month was that?
You know, I don't even remember. Is that sad?
How much wrestling did you do after you left Deuce and Domino?
That's what I'm trying to, yeah.
Oh, a lot. I did a couple months of it because then I went off and I did, well, we did the breakup match where I joined, I wrestled Maurice for a little bit there. And then I did a bunch of tag matches because Natalya was now involved. So I did like a bunch of stuff with Michelle McCool, where I had my first match with Victoria in London, England, which was great because I ended up having a lot of input on that match. Like Fit really like allowed me to kind of put my input and he went with it. So that was really rewarding for me to, you know, start being involved in wrestling matches and, you know, everybody's sitting there discussing and I'm throwing my ideas out there and Fit's going with them. So I was like, holy cow, like it's just reaffirming, like, you kind of do know what you're doing. So yeah, I don't know where totally. My lack of confidence was coming from.
Now you were there long enough, I guess, where, you know, you were respected more and everything, where now they'll listen up more. And I'm sure you were more confident since you were there longer as for speaking up with giving some of the ideas also.
Yeah, Fit was great about letting them. And I got along with all the girls. So it wasn't for me. I never had any cattiness with the girls. Like, and I wasn't abrasive and out there and just kind of like,
yeah, it wasn't like, who's this girl? Who's she to throw out an idea, you know, that you were like everybody. So that's cool.
Yeah. Cause I wasn't dominating in the matches or the ideas. I was just kind of like, hey, why don't we do this? Or, you know, and I wasn't overbearing.
I'm going to go back now and watch some of these matches and see if your opponents
absolutely
even got any offense in. Cause I bet they didn't.
Did you start to be used less and less and you started to see the writing on the wall as it started to crawl slowly towards August 25th, 2008?
Kind of. It was, I don't know. It wasn't less and less. It started to taper off, but I started to get into a bad space in my own head where I got super intimidated. My lack of confidence really bottomed out. So I was struggling a lot to compete with these girls and my confidence with these girls and, I let it get the best of me. So I kind of feel like that's a lot of my fault that I, you know, second guessed myself a lot and lost a lot of faith in myself and confidence. So, you know, it did kind of happen real quick and I didn't want it to happen, but I almost kind of did want it to happen because I, you know, got so scared. I mean, Natty was such a, you know, guiding angel for me. You know, she was so supportive and so nice to me and, you know, we got along really great, of course, because we're still friends to this day. And You know, and I struggled with that environment. I'm not from that kind of environment in a bigger standpoint where WWE is, that I just struggled with, you know, kind of dealing with my responsibilities and things like that. So, I didn't feel like it tapered off, but towards the end, maybe now that I think about it, you know, they didn't use me as much, which was a sign, I guess. It's not always a sign, because look at the people now. I mean, you don't see some people and they're not injured, and then all of a sudden they're back on TV and they're the main storyline. So it's so hard to read and live in that environment and not go crazy.
Do you have any, because I mean, you really aren't, I know you well in real life, the girl next door. Do you have any regrets of things you could have done different or been more aggressive backstage or had someone else like you or done something where maybe you could have stayed longer?
Yeah, I think if I put a little bit more in my training and taking the opportunities that I had in front of me, instead of being shy and too scared to get involved, I think if I had a little bit more confidence in myself and used these people, these girls that were willing to help me, you know, some of the guys that were willing to help me, you know, use them more. But I was so shy. Like, I didn't want to impose, you know. It was really shocking thinking back to it now, how, you know, how much confidence I didn't have. And I really started to lessen towards the end. And I just got nervous, even though like people like William Regal was so helpful to me and Fit was so helpful. Like Natty was so helpful. And these are great people to learn from and practice from during the day. And I just was so shy about it. And I really needed to just get in there and go, look, I'm lacking in this. And I need to go out there and I need to just work on my craft some more and just put more effort. But I was so low in my life at that time that I let it crumble around me, and I regret that. You know, I didn't stand up for myself and, you know, to myself and just kind of get out there. So yeah, I regret that I didn't put more effort into it towards the end. But, you know, whatever anybody says, I was not let go for what everybody's saying I was let go for. I was let go because, you know, the economy was crashing. They were letting a lot of people go, and it was bad. Well, you know?
What did everybody say you were let go for?
That I was... couldn't wrestle, and that I was too heavy.
Well, let me read from Wrestling Observer Newsletter from August 2008. The latest cuts were Stevie Richards, Colin Delaney, Rory and Robbie McAllister, and Cherry. Cherry surprised me because she was getting wins on TV and was slightly over. The problem is WWE women are either there for bikini spreads or in a few cases because they can wrestle well. And she didn't fit in either category. That's not fair, but I'll continue. And got called up because creative liked the OVW gimmick that she was part of, but had long since given up on it. What do you think about that assessment by Dave Meltzer?
It hurts my feelings. You know, I think that it is hard to keep up with those, you know, personas. I'll tell you what, I was, you know, in a bikini competition and I was 127 pounds and I was being called the Rotund Diva. That does something to somebody. So that's pretty hurtful. If people felt that way, you know, that makes me sad. But, you know, when you know that you're working out and you're doing all of this stuff and, you know, life gets to you and, you know, being 127 pounds and which never made to air, they were going to call me the Rotund Diva in a,
what does that word actually, what does that word actually mean? That's a big word for me.
To me, it means fat.
I didn't know what the word meant. That's why I was asking. But hey, I remember what you're talking about, and it was polka dots, right?
Yeah.
So listen, if I remember it, I'm sure there's plenty of people who remember it also. So,
well, you know what I remember is I remember doing the dress rehearsal for that, and we did the dress rehearsal. I came back to the backstage, and Dusty Rhodes came up to me. He says, "I love that bathing suit, baby." And I will never forget that. And it was so great. Bless his heart.
It's definitely not the healthy situation to put someone like you in. If you're 127 pounds and you're made to feel like there's something wrong with you,
Yeah. Maybe
it was the best thing for you to leave at the time.
I think about that now. You know, it was a blessing in disguise. I was struggling. You know, it was, you know, I didn't put enough, you know, thought into my gear and I didn't change it up. And now I think of all these different things I could have done. And, you know, it's just, I was struggling in that environment and I'm just, I don't know. I just felt like I was too nice for that. And I was too shy for that. And I just couldn't, I drowned in a pool of just these intense people. And I let it get the best of me. So it was what it was. I enjoyed it. I cannot believe that I made it to where I did. And so more than thrilled to say that I've achieved my dream and was able to see the world and meet these great people and perform in front of all these fans and still talk to them, a lot of them to this day. And I will never regret a minute of it. You know, it was just a blessing.
Before we get to what you're doing now, so right after WWE, did you do any independent bookings or anything, or any, did you talk with any other organizations about wrestling anywhere else, TNA, anything like that?
I did some independent bookings. So that was rough because everybody was saying those things to me and it was too fresh. It was too new. So bless their hearts. I mean, I just don't think fans understand, you know, what they're saying sometimes. And it just,
you mean like going up to you saying, hey, is it true that you got released? And just hitting you right with exactly. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I get
it. So that hurt. I reached out to TNA. Shelly Martinez, who was there at the time, had said, and I don't know how true this is, but she had said that Bubba Ray Dudley was inquiring about me, maybe getting my number to maybe come over there. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know how true that is, but I did talk to Terry Taylor a few times and I just got discouraged and I was like, I don't know if I want to go this route again. I just don't want to, you know, I was just really, conflicted.
Let me ask you this before we get onto what we are doing now, because the idea of the podcast is a hopeful story. It's a story that it doesn't all end just because one thing ends. But the moment that you left WWE, it was Johnny Ace that broke the news to you?
Yes.
And how did he put it? Did he give you hope for future employment? And did you see it coming at all?
At the time, it's hard to say because Domino got let go the week before I did. So when I got that call on my phone, I was like, yeah, this is it. You know, I didn't think, because I'm thinking, oh gosh, they just let all these people go. You know, maybe I'm good, because I was doing the Diva competition. I was on the road. You know, I wasn't when they called me, I hadn't been on the road for two loops. So it wasn't like I wasn't on the road for months and then they let me go. It was kind of like very quick. But when I, you know, saw that number, I was like, oh, okay. Johnny, I mean, how Johnny was as nice as he could be in that situation. I mean, that's a sucky situation to be in, but he wasn't mean to me. He was like, definitely nice. You know, the door's always open. He liked me. They liked me, you know? And again, they were like, listen, the economy's crashing. We're just basically, you know, letting all these people go. You know, after they let 2 weeks of talent go, they'd let a lot of people go in headquarters. It was at the time, you know? So, you know, sad. I was upset. Victoria called me and she was so sweet, bless her heart. And Beth Phoenix and Natalia flew me down to Tampa and we did like a whole vacation thing and they were so good to me. Like everybody tried to cheer me up, but you know, looking back on it now, it was a blessing in disguise. I was drowning in my own self, trying to survive in my dream. And I didn't like where I was when I went out. Like it wasn't at the top of my game. And, you know, I struggled and I'm happy that I am where I am today and loved my time there and you know, and blessed to have said that I made my dream and met all these people and, you know, I'm here with you guys today. So it's a blessing in disguise.
So what are you doing right now, Kara? What's your life consist of now as far as job, living situation, everything?
Well, I am in Tampa, Florida. I came down here, moved down here and went back to school. I went to actually a culinary school. I got a baking and pastry degree, which I actually don't even use anymore. I went back to my other love of dogs, which I did.
Wait, when you say, how long is a school like that, a baking school?
I got a year program out of it.
So in the year, no, just like I asked you when you first went to WWE, when you first went into the baking school, was there any weird creeps that hit on you?
No, I never told anybody what I did, and they didn't recognize me either.
All right.
No, so, yeah, graduated with that.
It's a different demographic that goes to culinary school than is in WWE, I think.
Are you saying the locker room's not the same? It's not the same kind of guys?
Definitely not. Definitely not. But that was.
So you're working with dogs now, huh?
Yes, and I did that before I got into wrestling. I was working at a lodging facility in New Jersey. And I'm back at it now. So I run a doggy daycare down here in Florida, and it's fantastic, and we do fantastic work, and we're experts in behavior here and educating people on, you know, the appropriate things you need for your dog when you have to, you know, put them in a daycare or a lodging facility, you know, educating people on what dogs need. And it's a whole industry, and it's great. And I get to bring my dog to work, and I'm, you know, get to go outside and play with all different kinds of dogs and great owners. So I'm super happy with my life now.
I have a 5-pound Chihuahua named Prancer.
Oh God.
And yes. we have put her in some daycares before, like if we're away for the day, never for a long period of time, but those places are a fortune. Like, I mean, how much you are just robbing people's money. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding.
How dare you? No, there's a market for it. I mean, I am very over the top with my dog, and I'm the first person to say it. But you really have to give, you know, you're handing over your fur baby to someone to take care of, and they can't speak up for themselves. So, you know, we educate people on going into these facilities, asking questions, and making sure that these people are certified and know what they're doing, and, you know the proper off-leash play and things like that. So you can't just leave, everybody loves dogs, and you can't just leave them with somebody. Do you know the medical background of certain sicknesses or things that can happen to dogs if you don't take care of them properly? You know, dogs can get in fights during daycare. You have to be able to know proper off-leash play and things like that. So it's really educating and making sure all these dogs are safe.
This sounds like a confident Kara right now, because your voice tone just changed when you got into talking. You literally just stepped in. You could have snapped your fingers after you're done giving those instructions.
This is not the same Kara who was afraid to ask for help and guidance when she was back in the WWE. And when we look back at the WWE, you look back fondly, you say, and I hear all the things you say. You met a lot of good people. And let me just ask you one last question, if you don't mind. What advice would you give to your 20-year-old self about her desire to get in the wrestling business? Would you say go for it, or would you say maybe this isn't for you?
Go for it and take every opportunity that you have to better yourself. Pick the brains of the people that you have at the palm of your hand and really utilize every amount of time. It's great to go out there and travel the world and do all of these things, but you really should take every second to better your craft, and I really should have done that.
Well, Robbie, I think Kara was the perfect first guest. She's a great friend of yours. What else do you want to let people know about Kara? She did a year and a half in the WWE, but there's probably a lot more to her that we don't know.
Well, God, then this hour podcast is going to turn into a 5-hour podcast. So I don't know. No, I mean, you know, like I said, I watched you since, not to make you feel weird, but I was probably when I was in middle school going into high school is when I first saw you at local shows around New Jersey. And then as I got to know you in wrestling, whether it was you giving me Frankensteiners off the top rope or whether it was you managing me in Iron Man matches in front of 5 people against Damian Adams, I've learned from you, and we've always had a good time together training and hanging out and being on long car trips. So either way, you know, you got to have a great career, which a lot of people can't say that they get to do. And you're also in a great place in your life now. You know, we still talk regularly. So I'm proud of you. Again, you were the perfect first guest. And, you know, Matt was trying to say that, you know, you weren't going to be a good guest and he didn't want you on, but I talked to you.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, thank you, Robbie. I love that because a lot of people said I couldn't wrestle, and you know that for years I did wrestle Frankensteiners and moonsaults and all the chain wrestling that we did with Damian Adams and stuff. So for all those people who think I couldn't wrestle, I wrestled for 9 years, my friends. So thank you.
In between all those terrible body-shaming comments Dave Meltzer made, he did mention you were a good wrestler.
Yes, he did.
Is there any way people can get a hold of you, or people can talk to you, or people can interact with you on social media? What's a good way to see Cherry from the WWE these days?
My Twitter is Former Diva Cherry, so it's FMR Diva Cherry. You can contact me through there. I'm still on Twitter.
Well, one last thing. So if I know you said you're distancing yourself from wrestling, if a promoter for a convention or a wrestling show were to contact you on Twitter or wherever, would you accept the booking?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to talk to them about it, where it's at, if I'm available and things like that, but I'd be open to it.
Okay, cool. So it's good to know that you're still willing to do wrestling-related events, which I think a lot of people probably don't know, so that's great news. And I think we're going to be I mean, Matt, wouldn't you agree? I think after people hear this, we're going to be seeing a lot more of Kara around.
Absolutely. And the wrestling convention scene and the wrestling nostalgia scene has never been bigger. So I think if you need, if you'd like Cherry to come and maybe be a valet or be a manager or do a signing, give her a holler on, it's FMR Diva Cherry. Is that what it is?
Yes. On Twitter. Yeah.
And thank you so much for joining us. Are you glad we did, even though we put you through the ringer a little bit?
I had a great time. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be your first person, Robbie.
Awesome. Yeah, no, you're the best.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Robbie, we got ourselves a bonus show, and it didn't disappoint, because what a great story Cherry told. And also, it's kind of weird how, like, for me, I'm sticking so straight to the script, and I even read just this terrible quote by Dave Meltzer about her. I think we had a lot to learn at that point.
Yeah, I think we did too. But, you know, I'm kind of glad we did this, because not only has it shown us how hard we've been working and changed, but I hope it shows you listeners out there how hard me and Matt are working for you guys to be better hosts, better podcasters, because I'm telling you the truth. I haven't even listened to a lot of podcasts before I started this, let alone know how to talk on one. So I hope I'm doing this right by you guys, and improvements are upon us. But either way, it was still a great interview and I enjoyed it.
And of course, we didn't put any commercials or a bunch of plugs in this one, because this is a bonus show for you guys. But make sure to check out our YouTube page, whereitended.com. That's what got us here. Of course, I'm at Matt Coon Music. Robbie is at Robbie E Impact. And we're at Wyatt Ended on Twitter and Instagram. Robbie, where can people get a hold of you if they want to find out what you're up to?
Well, you said my Twitter, Robbie E Impact. My Instagram is Real Robbie E. And then Robbie-E.com for my schedule. And RobbieEbookings@gmail.com for booking info. And guys, remember, we thank you. You're very active on Twitter and Instagram. Just keep it up and keep showing us love, and we'll keep showing you love.
Subscribe. 5 stars. Why ended?